In order to live this Christian life well, how many want to live it well? You need to know some things about God. And one of the basics is He is good. He is good. Amen. Let's everybody say that. He is good. And it's a revelation that we must be aware of every day. Now, under the Old Covenant, you know, the Old Testament was under the Old Covenant. New Testament is New Covenant. And under the Old Covenant, they weren't quite sure of their relationship with God. And we can see it in Exodus. Let's turn there, Exodus 33. If you have your Bible with you, or you can follow on the screen. Exodus 33, verse 12, it's talking about Moses and children of Israel. Moses is having a conversation with God. Then Exodus 33, verse 12, then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace. You have also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, that I may find grace in your sight." He's just not confident in that grace that we should be aware of. It's that favor. One translation says favor. "And consider that this nation is your people." And he said, "God, my presence will go with you." He's reassuring him. "And I will give you rest." Then he said to him, "If your presence does not," he just doesn't know. "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, and from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." So the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." He's just trying to reassure Moses, give him that confidence. And then he said, Moses says this to God, "Please show me your glory. Show me your glory." What's he asking there? He's asking for him to reveal himself more, to be intimate with him, to show him who he really is. "Please show me your glory." That's a good statement, a good, you know, desire. And I find it interesting what God says. Then he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you." So Moses wants God to show him his glory, and God is saying to him, "I'm going to show you my glory, and my glory is my goodness. I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." Moses didn't know that. Didn't know about, I guess, about God's goodness towards him. Wasn't secure in that. And so let's take now this idea of God's goodness manifested. Let's take it over into the New Testament. And now let's look at Romans 2, chapter 2, verse 4. Romans 2, verse 4. "Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing the goodness?" The goodness of God leads you to repentance. And again, like a lot of the Greek words, this word goodness is so rich. Let me just read a little bit about what this word means. It means kind, gentle, helpful, willing, generous, attentive to the needs of others, ready to serve, adaptable. That's an interesting one. Adaptable. And so we're talking about God being adaptable. And I look around here today, all the different personalities. God deals with us all differently based on your personality. The way he speaks to you, the way he shows you things, the way he brings you revelations. And it's not the same for every one of us. And God adapts. Isn't that amazing? And this is a huge part of this goodness. It's not only in words, it's in a demonstration of that kindness. He's going to back up his word. He's going to demonstrate it to you. And that's what compassion is, based on your need, what you're going through. And so this is God's goodness. And so I like what it says in the Amplified, the same verse. Or are you so blind as to trifle with and presume upon and despise and underestimate the wealth of his kindness and forbearance and long-suffering patience? Are you unmindful or actually ignorant, many in the church are, of the fact that God's kindness, his goodness, is intended to lead you to repent, to change your mind and inner man to accept God's will? And so there's a correlation. Now, we say repentance and we're usually thinking about, you know, sin, and it certainly involves that. But maybe a more modern word for repentance is transformation. Change. That's really what repentance is. Repentance is going one way and turning and going the other way. You change your direction. But if you don't have an understanding of good, well, if you don't have an understanding of God's goodness, you won't be saved. If you don't have an understanding of his goodness, you won't be able to receive his promises. So if you don't have an understanding of his goodness, you won't be different. You won't change. And if you're ever wondering why people don't change, it's because they don't have a revelation of God and his goodness. And so it's important to know that God is good. Everybody say that. God is good.
God is good.
Say it again. God is good. Say, God is good to me.
Good to
me. Or we could say, God is very good to me. And I like that. His goodness leads us into change. His goodness leads us into transformation. His goodness brings the word, makes it become a reality in your life. It brings things from the spirit realm into this natural realm. And we can be confident in his goodness for all of eternity. He does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it's not based on us. Thank God. It's based on him, and that's who he is. It's his nature. He is good. Now, his goodness has many components, and I just want to share just a few parts with you today. Just remind you of some things about the goodness of God. The first thing is, his goodness is filled with love. Let's look at Ephesians 2, verse 4. And you've got to have a revelation of God's love. God's love is what I think is central. It's the key of transformation, is having a revelation of his love. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. We don't feel like it. We should have it. But to having a revelation of his great love, the why he would send his son Jesus to live and to die for us, his great love. No greater love than this is to lay down one's life for your friends. He loved us so much that he sent his son. I mean, you can meditate that on that every day, 24 hours a day, and not get the full revelation of that, of what great love that he has for us. Ephesians 2, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, he's rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. I want you to know God's got great love towards you. You may not be feeling it right now, but I want you to know it. This is what the word says. This is who he is. This is his nature. I know some of us have made a few mistakes. Amen. But he's got great love for us. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places, giving us this amazing position. Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's right now. That's not just when we die and our spirit leaves our body and we go to heaven. Right now, we're seated with him in heavenly places in Christ. that in the ages to come, look at this, see, this is what he wants to do. He wants to do it today. He wants to do it tomorrow. He wants to do it next week, the rest of this year, next year, the rest of this decade, but then all of eternity, that in the ages to come, he might show, as demonstrate, the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Every day, we're on his mind. Every day, we're in his thoughts. Every day, if we'll allow him, he wants to show his goodness. Every day, he wants to show his gentleness and his kindness. That's who he is. That's who his nature is. I had Romans 8 on here, but I'm not going to read that. And I encourage you to go read, especially Romans 8, 31 through 39. It talks about nothing can separate us from God's love. That's some good verses to read this week. But I'll move on. Second point is, his goodness contains exceedingly great and precious promises. Titus 1, verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie. You got some people in your life that don't lie? Have you had some people in your life that lie to you? How does that feel? They say one thing to you and do another. Do you feel good about that? Do you have a lot of confidence in someone like that? It says, he cannot lie. Promised before time began, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. He's not a liar. He tells the truth. He speaks the truth. He means what he says. We can count on him. We can trust him. And trust, a lot about trust is confidence in the person's word. If they say they're going to do it, they follow up. Hebrews 10, 23. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. I like how it says in that last part, can be trusted to keep his promise. In the message, he says, he always keeps his word. He always keeps his word. And so I just want to encourage you, because some days, how many know we have some days where it doesn't seem like it's going to happen? But his written word, what he's promised, there's thousands of promises. Promises about finances, promises about health and healing, promises about our mental state, promises about the future, promises about the life afterwards, promises about what is to come, promises about, you know, about his power, promises about ministry, all these different things. And we can count on him, you know, whether he said it in his written word or by the Spirit of God, you can count on it. And so for those that may be wondering, is it going to come to pass? It will come to pass. Be encouraged. Don't give up on the dream. Don't give up on what he said to him. Keep going to the word. He will come through. He backs up his word. Hope I'm encouraging you today. God is good. God is good. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is good. You guys believe it?
Yes.
If you've forgotten, are you remembering? He's good. And you know, you look at that phrase and it just seems like not enough. But it's packed. His goodness, his kindness, his gentleness, his generosity, his faithfulness. And so he always keeps his word. And this next point is, he backs up his word with power. Anybody here like power? Anybody here like miracles? I like miracles. I like miracles, a demonstration of God's power. Look at what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 2. And I, brethren, sisterin, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Woo! He will move heaven and earth for you. He can change circumstances in a moment. But we've got to have some believers in the house. We've got to have His word in our heart, in our hearts and in our lips. And believe it and expect it. Because I'm telling you, we're living in some interesting times. A lot about division and a lot about bad news. But I'm not going to be a bearer of bad news today. I believe God's got a way. Amen. And God's got a good way. And if He can't get it to you, you know, just through normal, just everyday life, He will change things and by a demonstration of His power, change it. Who's ever had a miracle? What kind of miracles? Healing? Who's experienced healing? I have. Multiple times. I've experienced. Kelly, you know what I'm talking about. God is good to Kelly. God is good to Tanya. His healing power. Provision. Who's had a provision miracle? It would be a miracle if I could put my other leg up too right now. Just. If I had more faith, right? How many have been in a situation like you're involved in ministry and you don't know what you're going to do and you don't know what you're going to say and you're just like, and then you show up and God gives you the words?
Just had it happen.
Are you a believer, Tanya? See, what the enemy wants you to do is to look at yourself, to get you focused on what you have in your hand, your abilities, and focus on yourself. And when you get your focus on, how many know when you focus on yourself, it's depressing? I mean, it can be. Because it's like, this is me, this is the mountain, this is the giant, I'm going to be whooped every time. And so the enemy wants you to start looking at your bank book, start looking at your abilities and what you have in the natural. But that's not God. That's not good. God's goodness. We're to look at His goodness. And when you start looking at His goodness, you and God are the majority. His grace is going to put you over. His power is going to put you over. You're not just you. And His power opens up doors. His power opens up opportunities. Trying to wake somebody up. Praise God. Oral Roberts used to have that phrase, expect a miracle. We need to get that back. Let's get some t-shirts made. I'm going to get me a tattoo. Expect a t-shirt. Okay. A tattoo on my t-shirt. Expect a miracle. I'm just going to write it with marker. We were studying about Deuteronomy 6, and it talked about putting the word on your doorpost and putting it on your forehead and in between your eyes and, you know, talking about it when you lie down and when you're sitting and on the way. We need to keep the word, keep his promises before us. Because the world just, I mean, the devil is a liar, constantly trying to tell us lies. You are not going down. You are not defeated. You're not going backwards. You're an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror. You've got the victory through Christ Jesus. You're blessed coming in and blessed going out. His goodness. Do we serve a good God? He's good. He's good. Remember, he's good. Yeah. Praise God. We need to be expecting miracles. This world needs miracles. This world needs the power of God. And he's wanting to demonstrate his power, but he's looking for people that will believe. Believe it and expect it. The last point of this, talking about his goodness, there's so many things to talk about. But I've been just been meditating on these verses a lot lately. And it's about God's plan. His goodness involves an amazing plan for our lives. God is talking at the beginning of Jeremiah about before he formed Jeremiah, he knew him. I mean, you know, how unique we are. How special we are. And again, the world will tell you that you're nobody. There's only just a few famous and special people. No, if you're in Christ, you're special. You're unique. You've got something amazing. You've got something amazing that only you can do. God's created you for something amazing. And so this verse right, these verses right here, I just love these verses. He's got an amazing plan for my life. Because he's good. He makes good plans. But here in Psalm 37, verse 23, I've just been thinking about this a lot. You know, in my office, there's plans for this building. Blueprints. And at one time, this was just a bunch of trees. On a lot. And some people came together and wanted to build a church and talk to an architect and begin to talk out what they wanted. And they worked with the architect and they began to design this building on this land. And they had blueprints. And you look at the blueprints, it's amazing. I mean, all the different parts. Now, it's all on a flat piece of paper. It doesn't really have any life to it. But it's blueprints for this building. And then they began to clear the land and lay the foundation and begin to build the building according to the plans. You know, all of that ability is from God. To have the vision, to bring the vision to reality. Anybody here like art? Just some beautiful things that have been created, and someone had that vision in their, maybe something like a piece of rock, and they look at it, and we look at just a piece of rock, and they see this amazing sculpture, and they have this image and vision in their mind, and they begin to chisel. Or painting. Isn't painting like miraculous to paint something? Christina, do you paint? Show me some of your art. I need some in my house. But when you have this vision and to be able to take it and to put it on a canvas. But you think about nature. Anybody been to some beautiful places? I've been to some beautiful places. And places that you stand there and you're just in awe of the beauty when we were in the Redwoods Forest or in California, and I'm a tree person, I go out and just look at trees on my land. And I'll just stand there. Wow. I mean, it's a work of art. It's not a work of art when it falls, but it's when it's standing. It's amazing. I mean, looking at this pine tree the other day, I mean, it's that big, the base, and you barely see the top of it. But when we were in seeing the redwoods, we went in there, and it was just awe-inspiring. And I'm telling you, I was in there. I couldn't speak. It was so overwhelming how amazing it was. These, 150-foot trees or however big they are and how wide they are. It was just breathtaking. And, so I just think about God's creation. But you know what his prized creation is? Us. And in fact, and I know some people don't believe this, but the universe was made for us. The world was made for us, for people. Without people, what is it? And so he's made us something special. He's made us, and he's given you the giftings and all the different things about you. And he forms you and has this plan. Now look at this. I'm finally there. Psalm 37, verse 23. But just thinking about this. Look at God here in his goodness. The steps of a good man are directed and established by the Lord when he delights in his way. And he busies himself with his every step. Though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord grasps his hand in support and upholds him. Even when we miss it, when we make mistakes and when we fall, that happens. He's there. But look at this part here in parentheses. And he busies himself with every step. Every step of his life, God is involved, of your life, God is involved. He wants to be involved. He wants to make it amazing. He wants to order it. He wants to bring order. He wants to bring his peace. He wants to bring his joy. I mean, he's the master builder, and he wants to build this beautiful, amazing life. He's good. He's good. Now, what's the purpose of all the transformation? The goodness leads to transformation. Now, I'm glad you asked me about this question because I have the answer for you in 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 16. God's doing something in our lives. And he's got an end result in mind. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 16. But whenever a person turns in repentance to the Lord, the veil is stripped off and taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Frank, do you hear this? I'm picking on you, Frank. Now, where the Lord is the Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, emancipation from bondage, freedom. And all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold the Word of God as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, His goodness, are constantly being transfigured into His very own image in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The transformation is changing us into his image, into being more like Christ, reflecting that. And so that's why in this dark world, Tom, come on up here. We're a light. And we need to be bearers of goodness. So if we're changed by him, we should, and again, not in ourselves, but we should share goodness with others. We should be kind. Kindness goes a long way. Being gentle. We're not supposed to be harsh and mean and critical and divisive. Kind and gentle and generous, adaptive. That's a good one for marriage. Adapting to each other. Compassionate. People of our word. Backing up our word with action. This is who we are. We allow his goodness to come into us. And then, people need to hear the good news. We're out there and amongst lost people every day. And how are they going to hear without a preacher? How are they going to hear if someone doesn't share? And again, it doesn't have to be some great sermon. It can be just a testimony. It can be some kind words. Just doing something nice for somebody. And then maybe they'll say, why are you doing that? Well, because of Jesus. Tom, would you share a testimony with me? Why don't you share it?
Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, we all are ambassadors for Christ. And that ought to be our mission. I find that we have to show ourselves friendly. And so, if you know me, I'm going to speak, I'm going to say something, I'm going to talk. And I do it everywhere I go. It doesn't matter because I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I happen to be at the gym. I go to the gym probably 2-3 times a week. And while at the gym, I partake of all of the services. And I went into the steam room, and it was really steamy. And I came out of that steam room. Then I went into the sauna. And as I walked into the sauna, I thought it was empty, but it was a gentleman sitting there. And he said, how are you? And I said, oh, I'm fine. I'm blessed and obedient. And so we just had a little chit-chat. And he shared with me that he had to go see his doctor. The doctor's telling him he's probably got cancer. And he was just sharing that with me. And I said, are you a believer? And he said, yes, I'm a believer. I said, well, if you're a believer, I said, you know, I'm an elder of a church. I said, and the word says, the call for the elders of the church and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. And if they sin, their sins will be forgiven. I said, mind if I pray with you? And he said, sure. So we reached out and grabbed hands. And so I interceded for him.
Now, Tom, that's in the sauna, right?
Yeah, in the sauna.
Okay,
in the sauna.
We're
in the sauna. I got his hand. He's got my hand. And so at any rate, the thing about it, I'm not bashful. God told me to do it, and I prayed for him and interceded. So 2 or 3 weeks passed by, and I was leaving the gym Friday. He ran out to the car and told me, he said, hey, you know, you prayed for me in the sauna? And he said, I'm cancer-free, and he was just excited. But the thing that got me excited about it, and I was thinking, that's why I text Pastor Matt, and he said, I've been going back to my Baptist church telling them that this black guy laid hands on me. And I said, praise the Lord. And the reason I got excited was now he's going because his church that may be all white might start to say, well, we need to reach out to some black folk and invite them to the church. Because see, there's nothing like that in heaven. It's going to be all of us there, black, white, Hispanic, Asian. And that's why I love good news, because we are all here. And because we know God is no respecter of person. And I say that to you, God is not just answering my prayer. God want to do that for everybody, because we all are ambassadors. And I on a daily basis, if God want to use me, I let him use me. If it's salvation, then I'll lead them to Christ. If they're sick, I'll lay hands on them. And nobody will turn you down if you say, will you pray for me? They'll let you. Trust me. Nobody will turn you down. Say, can I pray for you today? Sure. They'll let you. And so I just encourage you to recognize that our church is not in these four walls. Our church is the people that we see, the demonstration of the power that God has given us. We filled with the Holy Spirit. God said we have the whole package. We can do it all. We can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. We can lay hands on people and they can receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We just got to believe. And it's not skin off my back. God told me to do it. And I trust him and it works. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Well, there's that scripture when two or three are gathered together in the sauna. There I am. That's the Matt Judd. That's the Matt Judd version. It's going to be on sale soon. It's a radical version. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's good. He's good. He's good. He's good. Stand up, everybody. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Let's just give him praise. Fill us up with your goodness and let it flow through us. May we have that revelation every day. He's good. He's good. Bible says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Wherever you go, it follows you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We just need to be reminded of some things. It's easy to forget and just all the junk that's going on in this world. But we gotta be light bearers. We're ambassadors of goodness. Ministers of reconciliation. What did it say? He went about doing good and healing all those that are oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. God's with us. God's in us. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. And I thank you, Father, you're revealing more of the plan. More of the plan for each one of us. More of the plan. It's an amazing plan. Step by step. He's going to show you the next step. You listen to him. He's going to show you the next step. Be confident of that. And it's good. It's a good step. It's a good place. Oh, thank you for it, Father. Oh, we praise you, Father. Glory to God.